Welcome to Late Night with Bruce. With me, Allison, Kieran.
Hello.
And Caitlin.
Hello.
This time we are talking networking. That may sound really boring, but I promise this won't be, because we'll probably get off topic.
It's going to be the longest 35 minutes of your life, if not. It won't.
No. Well, and there's lots of interesting things about networking, but I promise it's not going to be like one of those seminars where you go to and it's like, so the key to business is networking. Now, what you need to do is try to go to all, like, blah, blah, blah. That's not what this is at all. Basically,
I feel like we wouldn't be qualified enough to do that kind of seminar anyway.
I would fake it until I make it, basically, if I was put in that situation. But no, basically, this is because we all went to the Radio Academy's 30 Under 30 event. And then just a few days later, we went to the Radio Academy South chapter summer
Social.
I was going to say event, but I knew there was another word for it. So yeah, so we did all of that. We met lots of people. We had some interesting experiences. And we tried networking. Basically, it was just Burst tries networking. It was fun.
Burst on tour tries networking.
Burst on tour.
Basically.
Well, we were in a lot of different places over that week.
Yeah. It's not exactly lads, 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 banter, 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 is it? It's more
network,
bower.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Do you want to explain the story behind that of why we're saying bower?
I'll come to it a little later on.
Okay, it's too early.
Set up the atmosphere.
It's too early in the night,
though. Really, but yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to old Steve a bit later on. Yeah.
Okay, so what did you guys think of the two events? Maybe one person pick one and one person take the other.
They were quite different, though, weren't they?
They were.
It's quite nice, like, comparing the two events.
It's hard to compare them. And I think that's why it's like, it's nice to just talk about them separately and say this was good for XYZ and this was good for ABC.
Well, the first event feels very different from the second event. The second event was definitely not as much of a networking event as the first one. And yet, maybe we'll come to it a bit later on, I felt it to be a bit more useful than the first one.
Well, I think it actually was more, I don't think it was designed to be a network event so much because it was just a social.
Yeah, it's just people
and I don't even think,
because
like we didn't even get properly invited. We just kind of were like, hey,
we stumbled upon it.
Yeah, they loved it because everyone else knew each other and they were like, yeah. Oh, you're students.
What I did find quite
who are you?
Good about the second event is that we were told quite clearly that the first event existed and about 10 or 11 people from the whole university went along to that. The second event we found on our own volition. And then we later I discovered that one of the members of a committee for the Radio Academy is actually Joe, who advised us to go to the first event. So it sort of made sense that she pointed our way to the first event. And then from there, we grasped at our own
stress.
I don't know.
I'm not sure that's quite the right saying.
I think we utilized our own resources.
Exactly that. That's what I was looking for, to find the second one.
Yeah. No, I think it's the way to go. I don't mean to get like weird or not as like happy and lighthearted as this usually is, but I did feel like more confident and just more like okay after the second event. So yeah. I was like, I have some contents. And honestly, like some of the people said really nice and encouraging stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it wasn't in a weird way to where it's like all they did was go up and just kind of pat you on the shoulder and be like, it's going to be all right. You'll be fine. And then just walk off. But it was like they had a proper chat with you and you talked about your insecurities and they would kind of walk you through it because you'd be like, look, this is, you know, I'm like, for me, I'm worried about being able to get a visa. And, you know, one of the people worked with an American and they were like, I can try to get you in contact. Mm. And yeah,
we nailed the first event though, didn't we? I mean, just put their little fist bump there.
Well, but, I don't know if nailed is the right word.
We did quite well.
We did.
Yeah.
You did potentially get the email address of the highest ranking person in that event.
That's very true.
I also feel like because he was the one who had helped put it on. And so he knew what it was about because the whole thing, like they kept saying, try to get numbers, try to get emails. Why? We talked to loads of people, but it's like you don't want to be like, so hey.
Can I get your number?
I like your hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's chat hair. Can I have a job?
Just like pet their arm and be like, can I come in and like shadow for a day? I was actually doing the hand motion.
You were actually petting an imaginary arm.
I was. To make them feel really uncomfortable.
The first event was for Radio Academy 30 Under 30.
Right.
That was in the nightclub Under the Bridge, which is quite literally underneath the pitch at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
So a very exclusive place, very nice place to go to for it. Quite a loud event, you'd have to say. It was probably about 100 or so people.
It was a nightclub.
Yeah.
It was a nightclub, so it was rather on the loud side.
It was a nightclub of an evening, though, wasn't it? Entry at 7 o'clock or something like that, wasn't it? So it was quite early for that. Hosted by Clara Ampho from Radio 1 and James Barr from Heat Radio. Wonderful James Barr. Yeah, I really liked him. He was great, James Barr.
He was really nice.
Yeah. No, he was very, very nice, down to earth.
He was easier. He stuck around longer, so he was kind of easier. I never actually properly talked to him, but I did for like a second. And then when he left, he like patted me on the back and was like, "Nice to meet you." So I was like, boom. If I ever see him again, I can be like, "Remember me? We met. We did meet for 2 seconds. And you said it was nice to meet me, so clearly I made an impression.
I have a job."
Exactly.
It's quite cool. I think it was a very good night, but at the same time, it had a completely different aesthetic, and I didn't know what to go into expect. We had a funny day, didn't we, you and
we
I?
We did have a funny day, yeah.
Let's talk about it, funny day.
It was a really long day.
Yeah. Not necessarily in a bad way, but you don't like to get up before midday, so getting you out of bed at
like
9 o'clock
pushing
was
it.
Entertaining.
I will get up before midday. I like my sleep.
Sorry. It was a long day. I had to buy shoes. I didn't know what sort of event it was going to be, so I thought, let's go smart, and I'll stick on some trousers, a shirt, a tie, and some nice shoes. But my shoes that I had pre-Tuesday were falling apart, and the last time I used them was at a funeral about a month ago, and the actual heel came off whilst walking to the crematorium.
Oh.
And that's the point where you go, should probably
might
get
be
new
time
shoes
for new
after
shoes.
This. Yeah.
Did you go, let's get some shoes?
I didn't quite say it like that, actually. I actually went to you, we need to hunt down a Brantano.
Yeah.
And you went, I've never heard of a Brantano. Because you're so middle class. I'm kidding. You're not so middle class. It's a cheap warehouse of shoes if you don't know what Brantano is either, Alison.
I've never stumbled across it.
Exactly.
So.
It's pops up all around the country. It's a warehouse for cheap shoes and stuff. And my budget was tight, so I thought I'd go for some Brantano shoes. In the end, we ended up going to Maslan. I got a cheap pair of shoes there. But we had like a morning shopping on like an industrial estate.
Up very early, we were out the house, and I think we were at the shopping complex by about 10 o'clock.
Yeah, you say that like, oh god, we were there by 10 o'clock. It's like,
yeah, well, that's I feel like that's early for shopping.
Okay, that is for shopping, I imagine so. But yeah, we were on a really strict time to try and travel up to London to go to this event, and we're going around all these like, oh, they've got a range here, oh, a Home Bargains, wonder, oh, they've got a Dunhill Mill. We didn't go in there though.
We're going to TK Maxx and Matalan and Brantano.
We got the shoes, we bought truffles, we bought all sorts. We weren't focused on the day, so it was quite a weird day that we're doing like bargain shopping. So it was like, okay, in the morning we'll do some bargain shopping, in the afternoon we'll travel up to London to go to this event in the evening, which is very important to be part of the Radio Academy 30 Under 30. And then later on in the night, I know, we'll get some pizza and watch The Princess Diaries 2, which did happen. So it's a surreal day for me, because it was like, and for obviously yourself, because we had like this big, really important networking event, which was vital to our future, sort of coupled with a trip to Home Bargains in the morning and laying about on a sofa watching Princess Diaries 2 and eating pizza in the evening.
Well, it was when we were driving back from shopping as well, we had Clara Ampho's show on the radio, and we were just like,
oh, how
we'll be in the same place as you tonight. Uh-huh.
It was a good event. It was loud. Networking is tricky. We had some success, Alison.
We did. It was quite interesting. Like, I mean, I think they tried to have an event and like this fun thing, being like, this is the launch, we're gonna open the 30 under 30 applications tomorrow, very exciting stuff, like let's have all this fun stuff planned, but then they also tried to cram networking into it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure those two worked, because it was like Gavin James came to perform, who's amazing, and I love him, and of course I want to see him. But at the same time, how am I going to approach someone? Like, I don't want to meet someone that could be my potential boss and scream in their face and be like, hi, how are you?
Yeah. Oh my God, it's such a great night.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, that sort of thing
exactly.
is not the easiest thing in the world.
So, and then they have like DJ sets, and I thought there might be breaks to where they would at least like tone everything down to where you could a lot more easily walk around, meet and greet people. And then, yeah, and then obviously the people who weren't the 30 under 30 people left earlier. So it was like they started becoming more scarce as you started to realize, oh,
yeah,
I'm just going to have to make it work and try to yell at people and not offend them because I'm yelling at them.
A networking event, as it was there, was specifically aimed at trying to get people to like each other, to have a drink, and then to chat to one another and see if partnerships and relationships could grow out of that. I've now discovered that I've done all my best networking in the complete opposite environment, when it's relaxed and people can chat and it's not meant to be a networking event. I guess we'll come on to that with the second piece as well.
Mm.
Definitely before I did radio, when I was doing TV stuff a few years ago, I worked at a little show called Vicious for ITV. And in the ITV bar after a recording, you get chatting to people who were part of a production, and you'd work your way up from there. I got chatting to the line producer there, and that from a 5-minute chat, I managed to spend a day shadowing Ed Bai, who was the director of the show, who also did all the amazingly really good Red Dwarf shows, which I've been watching since I was about 5 or 6. And I got to spend a day shadowing the editor as well, which was unbelievable because I really wanted to go into editing. And that was from just chatting for 5 minutes in a quiet bar, in the loud environment of Stamford Bridge, essentially. I don't think I really stood a great chance at doing too much networking. We did we chatted to Steve, though. That went
well. We chatted to Steve. That was the first person we talked to. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much one of the top people at Bauer, and which was great. And he was super nice and super helpful. And I think because he helped with the event, he was, you know, more than happy to give, you know, his contacts and like try to give advice and stuff, which was really nice. And then it was just kind of a matter of guessing. And there were a lot of people that you met where it was like they worked somewhere where you might want to work, but either they were like interns or just starting out, trainees. And so it's like, that's great. And I want to talk to you. I kind of want to know how you did that. But at the same time, maybe it's too late for me to go the way you did, because I'm doing this and you're doing that, which it's kind of the same level, but it's different paths. And then also, too, it's like you can't walk in and be like, we need to hire this person, or even really put in the recommendation. So although those people were great to talk to and they had helpful stuff, it's not as much. I mean, it's still nice because they might move up and then they might be able to get you a job somewhere someday. Mm.
That's like being friends with people on these courses, though, aren't they? Is the fact
that exactly.
They are all future employers or employees of your own. Potentially in a scary realm.
Yeah.
I have a lot of pacts with people already. Whereas if they are on the interviewing committee, they have to get me the job.
We don't have a pact. And you're my partner.
Yeah. I have a lot of pacts with other people.
I feel like we have a pact that's just not spoken.
Yeah, no, we have an unspoken.
We do. Because it's kind of like I would very happily go in and like pitch us as a show. Be like, look, you've got this nighttime slot open up. Nobody wants that because it's the middle of the night. I've already cracked team.
Yeah.
We've got everything to be sorted.
We could steal that bloke from Absolute's slot from him.
Oh, so it's gonna be when he moves up.
Yeah.
We can take it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We met a gentleman and I got chatting to him. I think he was slightly intimidated by me chatting to him because I wanted to know everything and his answers were very much, well, it sort of speaks for itself, doesn't it? I do 1 till 6. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Oh, cool. So, a lot of music? Well, yeah. Oh, cool. And then there's this awkward moment, it's just like, we have sort of a slightly wide-eyed stare at one another as if to go, you ask a question next. No, you ask a question next, please.
No, you hang up.
Exactly that. But yeah, I'd understand that. I'm not sure I'm a fantastic presenter as much as yourself, but I'd definitely love to work in a...
I don't know if I agree with that, but...
Definitely a Catherine to the Ian role, or a Cole Pilkington to the Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant role.
Yeah.
Or like a spoken producer who speaks up every so often. It's like when Chris Moore's eventually had his own zoo-type team, but right. when it used to be just Chris and Alid.
Yeah.
I liked that a lot.
Exactly. I'm a big fan of producers that are comfortable being on the show, being in studio when that's like when the setup works. Obviously, sometimes the setup doesn't work that way, and the producer has to be in the other side of the other side of the glass. But yeah, like I feel like it's for me the shows that I like the best. It's essential to have that kind of producer presenter relationship where it's just it works and it's not. All about the presenter all the time, and they have that dialogue, and I don't know, I just that's something that I really like, and I feel like it would work really well.
There's a great MTV show many years ago, which is going to be going off onto the TV aspect things more so. I think it ran from about 2002 to 2008 or 9 or so, which was Zane Lowe, Zane Lowe's Gonzo, and it was very much him sat on a sofa going right, this is a new We Are Scientists track or something like that. But the producer would every so often, he'd sort of shout, it'd be him and one camera, he'd every so often just shout behind the camera and go, is that correct? Is that what it's called? Oh, you know what, mate, I don't know. All right, okay, cheers. Next. And it was quite a good little relationship between the two of them. They could easily just record for an hour and make a show out of that hour.
Yeah.
And I quite like that in radio, I guess, in a sense as well.
Yeah.
I'd never employ you, though. That's not happening. Never. That's... Please laugh more vocally.
Oh,
please.
Sorry. It's, I don't know.
Listeners at home are going, Coy, he's a bit of a git, isn't he?
No. I know, obviously. Of course you would hire me. Who
of course,
wouldn't?
Yeah. No, just kidding. Top of the list. Apart from you, dear.
it was all very successful. And, I think a lot of that with walking up to some people, I did feel like they weren't as keen to talk. But I think a lot of that probably had to do with the setup. Like, it was so loud. If you are not a person that can just walk up to people and talk to them, that's going to be even more that more uncomfortable for you, I think. And even being, like, approached, it's like you don't... And then if you can't hear them, you keep having to ask for them to say it again. Like, what's the point where you just give up and you just go, and hope they didn't say something like horribly wrong or ask a question where it's like, do you believe in whatever, something really horrible? And you just go, yeah,
Me and one of the other girls, one of the other second years that went to the first event, we were talking to someone for a fair while and he went away. And she just turned to me and went, I didn't hear a single word of that. What just happened?
Oh.
I had to fill her in like bullet points of everything he just said. Because it was, like, no way to hear him.
I felt like I was on a 2 or 3 second delay sometimes when, say, you were chatting to Steve and Steve was chatting to yourself. I was trying to figure out some of the words you said 2 or 3 seconds before so that I could sit there and go, yes, yeah.
But you can't do that because no one would even hear you in that loud event, so it wouldn't matter.
You'd have to do a shouted, oh, yes, sort of thing, but yeah.
Well, that just sounds horrible. I don't think you should walk up and do that to Steve at all.
Yeah, just go up to him and wait there for 2 seconds, wait till he says something, wait another 2 seconds, go, oh, yes.
Yeah,
that looked quite bad. No,
that's
great.
That doesn't work that well. But no, the second event was just a social. I think it was more for people who probably all already know each other and work together pretty well. And a lot of them did know each other. And then it was just, we just happened to stumble across it from like following certain pages and stuff.
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah, let's just go. Got a group of us. It was us and then Olivia. And went up to Southampton to do that.
That was good.
And yeah, it was much more because it was kind of a cross between what you would more expect from a networking event. Because normally it's like something where you might have some speakers there, very quiet. It's not like a nightclub. Whereas this was like, hey, let's go to the pub. Let's have some drinks. It wasn't very loud. It was very crammed, which I would have liked to... It was an interesting space.
I wouldn't have
space.
Liked there to be more people there.
Yeah,
no.
Six more people and it would have been a bit tight. But it was in the off-piste ski bar at the Orange Rooms in Southampton.
Yeah.
which was just, it's just not the place for it, I felt. But it was the right number of people.
Right.
If everyone who was invited had gone, we would have been in trouble. But it was absolutely fine.
No, it worked out well.
For that. And as a more relaxed event, it was like a event at a pub. It worked quite well, I felt,
yeah.
Because you just got chatting. When we rocked up and someone said, what do we do? I know Olivia at one point said, we're students. I was waiting for someone to go, oh, who invited students to this? But at the end of the day, we felt like we wanted to like be enthusiastic about it. And I think we did that really well. Because that's naturally how we are. So they took a lot out of us the same way that we were to chat with them and get to know them a bit better. But I think it worked out really well.
No, exactly. Like
I'm not criticising the way Olivia said students. Sorry about that. No. I'm not criticising the way that Olivia said students. I just thought I was actually waiting before I go, another second we say students, they're going to kill us.
Yeah.
No,
well, I think it's all your opinion on it. And I think that's the thing as well, because a lot of times our generation gets mixed up with people saying, oh, they just feel like they deserve everything. And people mm-hmm. don't like that sometimes we can be forward at networking events, because we've kind of grown up in an age where everything is shared. Everything's on social media. Everything like, hey, you have this contact. Oh, my, can I have their email? And that wasn't as much there in the previous generations. And so if we do that and we're kind of like, oh, you know this person, can I have their email? They think, whoa, why do you think you're entitled to that? And
well, at the first event, there's third year Andy.
Yeah.
Or say Andy Mercer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He did very well very early on. And he was chatting to us saying how they got trained to having someone at Six Music and someone at Radio 2. And he said he got the email, said, oh, don't worry, I'll pass them on. I'll pass them around to everybody. I just thought, I don't know if you should. You've earned that, to be honest.
Yeah, like I feel like there's some people I would pass it on to, if I knew it was a really good fit and I was close to them. Especially if it was something where it's like, that's not what I want to do. Like if I met this amazing Radio 4 contact, and I was like, I want to keep in contact with this person because they might have ideas or stuff, but maybe that's not for me. I would definitely give it to Olivia because that's what she wants to do.
Yeah.
That's where her passion is. And so, of course, I would help someone like that out. But, yeah, I wouldn't just, like, pass it around to everyone that I didn't know. And, like, here,
just check it on the Facebook group for
the
year.
Well, and then, you know, that person's going to get more emails than they want, and then they're not going to be as happy to.
And then you're not going to stand out to them.
No.
I went to a talk at the student radio conference back at the end of March, early April, where Tim Johns from Radio 2 produces Jeremy Vine's show. He said, here's my email address, give me an email, you come in and just shadow a show or two. And he shared that with 40 or 50 odd people. He could end up with 30 emails at the end of the day saying, can I come in tomorrow?
Yeah.
But he was willing to share that, and he was willing to cope under that. If you just get given this email, then you pass it around to everybody and he gets those 30 emails, he'll be going, I gave that to Kieran, or I gave that to Alison, or I gave that to Kaylee, and it'll just be like kept to them, and all of a sudden it's spread out.
Right.
So, yeah, when Andy got the email from the guy at Six Music, I thought, no, you've earned that. That's yours.
Yeah.
Well done. If networking was group networking, then the night on Tuesday would have been each individual person from each company reading out their email address on the stage.
Yeah.
There's a reason they didn't do that,
exactly.
Yeah.
It was for the people who could go out there and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, exactly. I think he, because he was there earlier, so he had that time to just get in early, which is what we missed out on. But I mean, we were still successful. We were very successful at the South chapter. But yeah, just I think, I don't know if I finished my thought on how people can sometimes think that we want too much. And so I think that's where sometimes when you go up, if people aren't happy to give that to you, then you kind of shut down. But also, if someone says students, people might, you're going to get one of two reactions. People are either going to be kind of like, oh yeah, like let me help you, or they're going to go, oh, they're just going to want my contacts, and they're just going to want this, and they're just going to want that. So it was very nice because everyone was like well received to us that night.
But I think we enjoyed Tuesday to an extent that we found Thursday would be quite fun. And Thursday I felt was the more fun, relaxed one with some very nice people. Yeah. Like we met James from Cellador, and it does sound awful. If it, Damien, there you go.
Lou was also she was the breakfast show.
Yeah. Yep. And Alex over at BBC Radio Solent, and my new favourite human being. Now, I don't say this with a sort of like, oh, it's all a bit of a laugh. He's genuinely such a lovely guy.
We met Mitch.
Yeah. Mitch Johnson.
Mitch was absolutely brilliant.
He's even like commenting on your Facebook posts and stuff. It's great.
It's wonderful.
So funny.
Showbiz Mitch from Live and Kicking. He was on, at the weekend, he was on a documentary about Ant and Dec's life called The Ant and Dec Story. I thought, that's great. Showbiz Mitch, who's done all sorts of things, full name Mitch Johnson. He's one of the biggest radio announcers in the Kingdom of Jordan.
Yeah.
His voice is so recognisable over there that it's spiraling out of control in that sense. He's there One Direction. I loved Mitch. He was wonderful. Really nice guy.
He's such a character as well. Like,
yeah.
Like when he walks into a room, you know he's walked into the room.
Yeah.
And he was very good to you with Chris Country.
He was very good to me,
So someone like that, you just get a genuinely positive, I suppose, say aura, is that the word? I'm not sure.
Aura.
Aura, there you go. Aurora, that's a stupid
aura.
Rita Aurora. Aurora Borealis.
Yeah, the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
The Lights, yeah. Sorry, there's two signs out at Greenland, isn't there? Coming up, Aurora Borealis, brackets,
isn't it in
lights.
Iceland? You can see it in Iceland.
You can see it in Alaska as well.
You can see it from quite. You can see it from Scotland sometimes.
I think if you're really far north, you can see it.
Yeah, you can see it from up there.
Yeah.
Points to the sky.
Woo!
yeah, really cool, really nice, and a lot of fun.
I think overall it was a success. First networking. I'm looking forward to the future stuff. I think that was the main thing. Everyone just kept saying, just keep coming to the events. More and more people will come, or different people will come, and you'll get more contacts. And no, I'm feeling a lot better just because I've had people who are in the industry be like, this is what you need to do, and then you'll be okay. It's not just kind of that like, generic, it'll be fine.
Yeah, good luck.
They kind of see your problem. They give you ideas and they say, if you do this, like, it'll work out.
Plus, it's different from going to, like, careers lectures and seminars and stuff like that, because that's just so general for everyone in the room. Whereas this, like, the people there took the time to, like, find out what you want to do, find out what you're doing at the moment, find out where you want to be. And then they specified the advice to you, and it was so much more helpful.
Yeah.
I agree. I think the thing, too, that I really enjoyed, especially at the next event, Thursday's event, I guess it was 2 days later, anyways, is that because, you know, I was told at the first event, like, don't ever say you're a presenter. Just don't do it. It's like the no-no. So I was like, oh, oops. I hope I hadn't said that. And then people go, and just walk away. But I tried that Thursday's event, and then once people start talking to me, they're like, oh, so you want to go into presenting? And that didn't switch them off. They were like, they were trying to give me tips. They were trying to help. They were trying. So I think that was really nice to know as well. It's like, even some of these no-nos or some of these, like, once you get to know people, it's not that big of a deal. Just don't walk straight into the room and maybe say certain things.
Yeah, The guy who I spoke to, director of Red Dwarf stuff years ago, he said to me what I wanted to be when I eventually made my way up the ladder in TV production, which was a few years ago now. And I thought I'd suck up to him a bit, go, well, I think I could, I think I work as quite a good director. And he looked at me as if to go, like, as if I just said to him, well, I'm going to sneak my way into the building, steal all the jackets and sell them for parts down South Bank. It's like, don't say director. Everyone says director, it's a bit of a cop-out. Oh, okay, I want to be a production assistant. That's what you are now. Oh, I don't know then. But, okay. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, Kieran. So not saying presenter. I guess, I don't know, is it too easy to say you want to be a presenter? I guess anyone can be a presenter if they think they're confident enough with it.
I don't think that's true, though. And I found most people that I've met don't want to be. And oddly enough, One thing that surprised me when I came to this course was there's a lot, like, I feel like the majority of people are in a place where they still haven't really dealt with most of their insecurities, or they still have a lack of confidence. And even if it doesn't, no, I'm not saying like everyone here is like has no confidence and just can't do anything, but I think everyone here doesn't know how good they are, kind of thing. And I don't think you need to be arrogant, but I think 100% you need to be confident to be a presenter, because you can't get on the mic every day, and especially if it's live, and just be comfortable with that if you're not 100% confident in yourself. And so I think most of the people that I've met, that's not really what they want to do. But at the same time, yeah, I think it's like there's a lot of people who might have none of the skills, all of the confidence, that want to walk in and go, I'm a presenter, or I want to be a presenter. And I think that's where maybe it can fall short, is it's like, well, you're confident, but you have nothing else, which probably makes up for a lot, granted. But at the same time, it's better to have the skills. So I think it's better to maybe introduce yourself and say, hey, look, I studied production. I know how to produce. But I also, like, I'm really into myself. So
I think you come out with features, ahoy, and that's like, look, like me, that sort of thing.
I think really I always, I just try to be myself when I'm around people so they can get a feel. Because I'm like, I feel like if, like, that's it. You're presenting to them. Be the presenter in that situation. And they'll either see it or they won't. So.
Some people have a quiet taste, I find, as well. The fact that you do actually, think yourself as a good presenter, and you think, oh, the whole world will love you, and then you realise that you're not exactly that person's taste, or you don't present in the style that person likes. The same person who would have enjoyed Terry Wogan on Radio 2 won't have enjoyed Chris Evans on Radio 2, or won't enjoy Alex Zane, or even the crossover between Chris Moores and Nick Grimshaw. That's a dynamic that hasn't worked as well as many people thought they would, because they're quite loud, brash people, but in quite different styles. So I think it is of a certain amount of taste as well to a lot of people. That's canon, though, isn't it?
Well, and I think that's where it's important to A, always be yourself and not put on an act. And then B, you have to have that confidence. Because I know, I mean, like, I've gotten to the point where I've realized I can't make everyone happy, and I'm not going to. And there's no point in trying. And also, like, I feel pretty confident in who I am, and I'm happy with it, and that's all that matters. And so if I go out, there are going to be people that don't like it, and that's fine. But there's also going to be people that do. And I think that's where the reward is. It's like, I don't care. So, like, I realize people aren't going to like me. I've had people that meet me, and in 5 seconds, they're off telling someone else, oh, I don't like her. I don't like her. And then it comes back to me. I'm like, what did I do? I said hello. You know, and there's just people that are going to get that impression for whatever reason, no matter who you are, what you do. But if you have that confidence and you go, okay, then when the people come back and there's people who are like, I really like this, or I really like when you do this, or that's when it's kind of like, really? Okay, I do it because I like it and it makes me happy and they're paying me to do it, hopefully. And yeah, someone else gets to, my whole thing is if I can make someone else smile that day, I've succeeded. That's it. Hopefully there's someone out there who, you know, is maybe like their car broke down and they were late and they got in trouble with their boss, and so they're just not having a good day, and then they hear that one thing and it puts a smile on their face. That's it. That's right there. That's a golden ticket for me. So
I just like to annoy people as much as I can by playing the same song 4 times in a row.
I don't know if that's, or I don't know if that makes good.
No, I'm not exactly sure. A lot of people are.
I think it's good to have people who are controversial, like you said, with Chris Moyles and Nick Grimshaw, because you're going to love them or you're going to hate them.
I don't actually like to annoy people. I just like to stay. That happens naturally.
That's fine.
I'm not looking to present too much after this. I feel as if I've got a lot of that out of my system. Not to say that, oh, every presenter will have to get it out of their system. No, there's people who are very good at it. But I feel as if I won't be heading down that path myself. I enjoy doing the stuff that I do. I do a little new music show for a community station back where I live called Vectis Radio. I really enjoy doing that. It gives me a chance to play a lot of music that I really like, a lot of music that's really challenging. also like to go down to the Arvite, which is predominantly not a Yuffie island, and say, hey, here's a 7-minute Glitchtronica song, enjoy, and then just walk off and go, don't employ anybody. But no, of course, I don't take that for granted whatsoever. I like doing street knowledge on Burst, mainly because it's so out of my realm of normal radio that I quite like pushing myself for that. And I really enjoy us doing the Friday Meltdown.
Yeah.
I think that works. I think that show on Burst works really well because
I really like Friday Meltdown.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It's great.
Oh, thank you.
My mum loves it. And after, because I told her that you don't really want to be a presenter, and that shocked her. And I was like, yeah, that's why we'd be a good team.
Yeah.
And then she was like, well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And she asked me, she was like, well, then why is he the main person on Friday Meltdown? And I was like, because to be the producer.
It's my show, mate. It's my show.
That, as well as to be the producer, you almost, in Studio One, you almost have to be the lead presenter as well. If you've knocked the dynamics off, because it's like, then the person who's supposed to be leading it isn't looking at everyone else. Yeah. They're just looking at the producer like, so. Oh, yeah, we have guests. Okay. Yeah.
No, I completely understand that. And I'm on board with your comments. At the end of the day, it's my show, mate.
No, that
you,
as well.
You, Blaze, are my number two. Remember that.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'm happy.
You ain't seeing him at seat here type two. I'm kidding.
I was going to say that's not true, considering I've sat in that seat
from
twice.
I think I loved doing it. That's very true. You're my cover, but I should be your cover.
Well, you will be, or you already have been.
Yeah, no, in a sense, I have been.
Midnight Metal. Rounds.
Of course, yeah, that was last week. But you did mine for streamer. It was more like a swap over, wasn't it?
We just have each other's backs.
Good work, bro. Another fist bump there. But no, I loved doing a breakfast show back on the Isle of Wight. My very first radio gig in quote marks, outside of university, was doing a breakfast show at a small community station where I joined the station. I recorded some little tapes in their rehearsal studio. They liked me. They put me on as a guest on the breakfast show, which the station manager was doing at the time. Then the station manager went on to do the mid-morning show, and he gave me the show within about, I think, a week and a half or so. He gave me the breakfast show within that time of me joining. And I was so, the first 2 days, nervous as hell, haven't used a proper mixing desk in the last few years. Loads of errors. Their little program had a thing called Automate, where you'd put it on Automate and it would play all the songs in the list. The second you took it off Automate, it would stop at the end of that song. And I'd be sitting there going, well, there you go, that was Blur with Park Life. And before I could finish everything, the next song would start playing. I'll be going, ah, I'm going to take off Automate. Ah, all the buttons are going up, windscreen wipers and all sorts going mad. But I loved doing that sort of magazine show. I eventually got a co-host and we chatted through the day's topics. We had a laugh. We did a whole hours dedicated to a certain type of music when we got a bit more confident with it. We did a Friday request show. And from there, when that ended, I always did like muso shows. I did a show which was jazz and blues on Sunday morning at Vectis Radio. I do the new music show. I do street knowledge. I do the Burst review show sometimes. So I really wanted to do like a magazine-y chillax show, and I like the Friday Meltdown a lot for that. So I think that's probably my favourite show I do on Burst, and hence the one I probably try my best to get going every Friday.
Yeah. No. Switch
over.
I like it as well.
Drops mic.
For the same reasons. Because I worked as a breakfast show in like assistant producer type thing. And I miss that a little bit. Like, there's just nothing like a good like magazine type breakfast show where you just have like guests on. And I don't know. It's really fun. And so to be able to do that and just play with it and have a little bit more freedom is... It brings back a lot of memories, but it also is just... And it's really fun to be in the position that I wanted to be in for that type of show and kind of have the control a little bit more.
On Burst, we have that freedom as well. Yeah. So that's good.
So true.
I probably shouldn't have had as much freedom as I should have done. Or my first radio station was called White Island Radio. As in, it was Isle of Wight base station, not some horrific... horrific name for a station. My first gig was on White Island Radio, and I don't know where I was going at this point.
Good.
They gave me way too much freedom on that radio station, to a point where within the last couple of weeks of it, sadly, it was coming to a close, and we got a bit more risque with the things we could do. I wouldn't say risque as in we were rude, we should have been censored for certain things or anything like that. But we decided, like, from 9 till 10 one morning, we'd play a whole hour of Busted, because that, within the last few weeks, me and my co-presenter Connor had got massively into Busted. Or we decided to put out a competition to win the pen that I'd been writing with since May on the final day. And we have the most competition entries the station ever had, just to win the pen that I'd spent 3 months writing with. And Connor then had to get on his moped before the end of the show and deliver it to somebody. It was just nuts. It's that freedom I really like.
Yeah.
So that's why I love doing Friday Meltdown, because it is the freedom.
It is nice. Well,
and too much of it, probably, but there you go.
On that note.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Keep going.
I mean, we essentially, a couple of weeks ago, ended the Friday Meltdown 15 minutes early so we could go and have a fry-up and watch the England game.
I was only into it because of the fry-up. I thought it was a bit silly to leave early. We did put stuff in control. It was just a lot more songs at the end.
That's true. Sorry, that's the official line on it, really, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it still lasted. Whoops. No, it's fine. It still lasted. It was just all songs at the end.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It happens. But no, I think this has been really good and silly and great and more insight actually into Burst than some of the others, which is probably good because that's more what the show should be about, since it's supposed to be like getting to know Burst and getting to know the people.
Oh, I don't know. I think the Mean Girls one really tackled the hard topics of... No, I love doing these late night Burst.
Yeah. Really cool. And so, we'll have more to come, but we've got loads of ideas. We'll talk through it later. This has been Late Night with Burst, and then I hope you have enjoyed it.